got you down the runway, hand in hand. As we take off, we got our whole flight plan. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm loving you. As we take off on the go, we don't need air traffic control. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm loving you. As we begin to gain altitude, just like North, their love is true. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm loving you. Little around the world, many things I've seen.
Welcome to No Biz Like Showbiz. I'm your host, Randall Rutledge. If we've got any listeners out there, just so you know, welcome you to call in. Get in here at 1-888-815-9756. But I'll just start off telling a little bit about myself and where I got interested in this crazy business of showbiz. I was 6 years old at the time. I'm kind of aging myself. That was back in 1968. And they were shooting a portion of a film in my hometown called Trail of Tears. I'm sure everyone's aware of what the Trail of Tears is about. The plight of the Native American, the Cherokees, moving them up into Oklahoma. But I was able to meet Johnny Cash, and at 6 years old, Johnny Cash was definitely a mountain of a man to a little six-year-old boy. But that's kind of where I got my interest, got bit by the showbiz bug. And it would be 14 years later before I actually got the opportunity to start pursuing the entertainment industry. I joined the Marine Corps at the age of 17, served 3 years in the military, got out when I was 20, then from 20 went straight to Tinseltown, or better known as Movie City, Hollywood, California. And that's basically kind of I'm the author of a book, From Movie City to Music City, USA, My Journey Through Showbiz and How It Works. And I'd like to go ahead and just read the preface to you, give you a little bit of idea what the book's about. From Movie City to Music City, USA, My Journey Through Showbiz and How It Works incorporates 25 years of my own personal experiences, as well as showing how the industry actually works from the legit to the not-so-legit. I have pursued all phases of the entertainment industry, from acting to producing and recording to writing. There aren't too many phases of this industry that I haven't tried to tap into, and yet there are hundreds of areas of the entertainment industry that I haven't, which you will see as you progress through this literary journey that I share with you. Although to date I haven't made what everyone refers to as the big time, I've yet to totally give up, nor will I until the day that I die. At the same time, I also encourage any and all to never give up their life's pursuit, no matter what that may be. Many will travel by bus, train, plane, car, or simply walk and stick out their thumb to the world's most inexpensive and most inconvenient mode of travel, hitchhike, to get to Movie City or Music City, USA, just for a small piece, even smaller than a crumb of the showbiz pie. As long as one tries, then one never fails. If you've seen the movie National Treasure, starring Nicolas Cage, in one scene, he explains that when Thomas Edison was trying to invent the light bulb, someone stated he had failed 2,000 times. And Thomas Edison replied, "I didn't fail. I just found 2,000 ways how not to make a light bulb." So find your 2,000 ways of how not to make it, and then find your one way to succeed, and I'll meet you there. So that's basically the preface of my book, From Movie City to Music City, USA. Again, if there's anyone out there listening, if you'd like to call in, I encourage you to do so. If you have any questions, how to get started in this crazy business, if you're in the business, if you could come online and give someone else some of your personal experiences, that would be great too. Again, you can call in at 1-888-815-9756. Don't be bashful. Just call in. This No Biz Like Showbiz. I may be the host, but it's not just my show. It's also your show. So call in and ask away. I'll be ratchet jawing here for a while, so hopefully one of you guys will pick up the phone and give a call. Getting back to my interest in show business, when I got out of the Marine Corps and went straight to Hollywood, California, didn't know exactly how to start even working in films. So I started basically networking with folks that had worked in movies, had done what they call extra work, but nowadays they kind of label it as background artist. So I started going to these casting agencies such as Central Casting. Central Casting basically does a lot of, gets you booked on a lot of films, TV shows as extras. Later on, I found what's called background talent. They book you primarily on TV commercials, did a lot of work with background talent. Pay scale's not too bad either, from maybe $125 a day upward of $250 a day plus. Just depends on the commercial you're working on and what their budget is. But getting back to pursuing it, I pushed the first film I worked on as an extra was Scarface. Starred Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer. It was directed by Brian De Palma. That's kind of the first film I ever worked on. And then I started picking up a lot more extra work. Knight Rider, Karate Kid, Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton. Tons and tons of film, TV, music videos. It just kept coming. However, I wasn't getting exactly what I was looking for. I was hoping to try to break into the industry as far as an A-list actor, becoming a member of the Screen Actors Guild, which is a catch-22. You have to have lines in a movie to get your SAG card, or you have to have a SAG card to get lines in a movie. So it's just it's a real tough industry, but to me it's just a lot of fun. I'd rather work 100 consecutive hours on the worst set, under the worst conditions, under the worst director, than to work 1 hour on anything else. That's just me. But then as I started progressing, I thought, well, maybe 1985, I said, well, if I write my own screenplay and write myself in a major part, maybe I can kind of sneak in the back door of Hollywood that way. Well, I was wrong again. Didn't quite work out that way either. Again, trying to raise funding for a major motion picture, that again, you're going to run into some brick walls. There's several types of funding, several types of financing that when you try to secure funding to produce a major motion picture or even on an independent level, even if you do get a film produced, it still doesn't mean that it's going to secure a theatrical release or get any type of distribution whatsoever. And, you know, it's, like I say, you're going to run into door after door after door where real estate is location, location, location. Show business is rejection, 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 but you got to have thick skin to get through it all and just keep on pursuing it. Persevere and don't stop. I mean, I've done quite a bit. I've recorded my own album. In fact, I wrote half the songs on my album entitled Nonstop Flight. I recorded it in Nashville, Tennessee. And track two on my album was written by Ronnie Dunn of Brooks and Dunn and co-written by Dean Dillon, who has written tracks for George Strait. So I can't say my journey through this industry has been all bad. I've had a lot of good times, a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of disappointments and rejections. Not to mention a few got ripped off a few times and scammed, but I've learned over the years how to spot a con artist a mile away and basically just turn it away and avoid them. And that's what everybody in this industry has to do, because they're going to be out there. That's the ugly part of this business, is the folks that's going to try to con you out of your money wrongfully by utilizing unscrupulous tactics and being unethical. But you just have to educate yourself on how the business actually ticks, and that's kind of what part of this show is about. And again, if Any listeners out there, if you'd like to call in and make some comments, feel free to do so. 1-888-815-9756. So, don't be bashful. Call in. I don't bite. I can't bite you over a telephone line. Anywho, again, my pursuit of the industry has led me to a lot of good opportunities, a lot of fun opportunities. I've been able to meet Tom Selleck, Chuck Norris, Clint Eastwood, specifically Clint Eastwood and Chuck Norris, some of my childhood heroes. I've been very glad that I was able to do that. Met Mickey Jones. You might remember him as Pete Bilker on K&B Construction on the TV show Home Improvement with Tim Allen. Back used to live in the same town with Mickey Jones, Simi Valley, California. Used to see Mickey all the time, post office, restaurants, whatnot. So it's kind of cool, especially when you meet him. He usually plays a bad guy, but he's one of the nicest guys on the face of the earth. So again, there's a lot of benefits to pursuing the industry. A lot of opportunity that you wouldn't get otherwise if you were just not pursuing this industry. In fact, I was able to be a part of Patriot Day of 2002. I read a proclamation that was from President Bush. It was kind of it was an honorary tribute to the victims of the September 11, 2001 attacks, and being a part of the entertainment industry, that's what helped me be able to do that honorary tribute to the victims of September 11th and reading the proclamation that officially made November 11th, 2002 as Patriot Day. So again, it does have its perks, but this industry also has its ups and downs, its ins and outs, and can frustrate you quite a bit. But like I say, no matter what you do, you got to keep going. Again, I'd like to invite some callers to come in at 1-888-815-9756. Any questions you got for me, I'd be happy to answer them. If anyone out there has ever worked in the entertainment industry, from whether you've been an extra or actually have your SAG card, have done any, have had lines in a film, have been credited with lines in a film, maybe come online and help some of our listeners. So, getting back to my start, the more I started working, I was kind of hoping that was going to lead to, well, success, basically. Being the A-list actor, that's what everybody kind of hopes to become when they're pursuing this industry as a film actor. Everybody's hoping to secure that $20 million per film paycheck. That's kind of what we're all looking for, trying to achieve. That's the main goal that everybody in this industry is trying to get into. But there's approximately 80,000 plus members of the Screen Actors Guild, and only about probably only about 5% of actors are working at any one time. In fact, actors are probably one of the most unemployed people in the world. In fact, actors, I've even had to do it myself, but actors have to do side jobs in order to support themselves, whether it be security guard, waitress, cab driver, selling maps of the stars' homes on the Walk of Fame, tour guides. And there's just an array of occupations that struggling entertainers wind up having to do at the same time they're pursuing the dream of making it a business. Let's see. But again, like I said, until they bury me 6 foot under, I will not stop pursuing this industry. I'm I'm bound and determined to get to where I want to be. And really doesn't matter what age. It's easier if you're a lot younger, if you get that, if you get your big break, as they call it. But lots of people never do even get nowhere near that break. It's just a tough industry to crack. But again, my advice to you, if this is what you want to do, just keep pursuing it. Don't stop. Like I say, I've worked in films, TV, commercials, music videos, worked in one stage production, recorded my own album. I'm doing basically everything on an independent level nowadays. With the ever-changing technology, that that really helps you to basically produce product on a very, very, very low budget in comparison to what it would cost to produce a Hollywood film or studio production. Studio productions can cost anywhere from $20 million plus, like the Titanic. I believe it cost them $101 to $200 million to produce the film, but it's grossed almost $1 billion. But not every film. Hello.
Yes, I have a question for Randall Rutledge.
This is he. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? This is Cy. My question to you is will you? I know that you said you did a CD with someone else. Will you be playing some of your, since you're an independent contractor, will you be playing some of your material over the internet? And will you also allow other independent artists to, you know, will you also play other independent artists' materials if you're sent to you?
Yes, definitely. That's kind of the, as the show progresses, I'm definitely going to do that. Kind of hopefully try to help, other independent artists get out there, and I will send an email campaign also to labels, A&R personnel, to hopefully get them to listen to the show and possibly listen to those indie artists.
Okay, and one more question. Okay, that's as far as the musical industry is concerned. As far as the film industry, will you also be, say, for example, sending out some sort of email or something to young talent that's interested in being in movies? So, you know, people like us, when we want to do another movie, you've got a list of people or a list of talent or something like that. So will you be sending out emails to talent to kind of recruit new talent, especially since your book is kind of giving them heads up about the ins and outs?
Yes, I what I plan on doing, one of my goals and plans is to go to most of the entertainment hubs, for example, Atlanta, Nashville, Las Vegas, New York City.
Okay.
And try to meet as many folks as I can that are either in the industry, pursuing the industry, or want to be in the industry. And my goal would eventually be to have a nationwide network of from cast to crew to screenwriters, producers, directors, just have everything where basically at the drop of a hat we could just go anywhere at any time because we have cast crew available everywhere.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Again, appreciate callers. Call in at 1-888-815-9756. Let's see here. I mean, again, I could go on and on and on for what I've done for the last 25 years. Probably take me 25 years to get it all out. But at any rate, let's touch on the music side of things for just a second here. That in itself, that is another brick wall to try to go through if you're a songwriter or wanting to be a singer or perhaps both singer and songwriter, which is if you can write material and you can sing, you're a far better opportunity of getting a record deal, but not necessarily. I mean, Seems like the major labels, they seem to want the 12-year-old to 17-year-old, possibly maybe a 20-year-old artist, as opposed to, I mean, if you're over 25, you're over 30 years old, as far as being picked up by a major record label, I don't see that happening. I would love to be proven wrong. I've heard a lot of folks that are excellent singers. If they had albums out, I, for one, definitely would buy those albums because I like hearing those folks sing. But unfortunately for some of them are in their late 40s, early 50s, maybe even up into the early 60s, and major labels just kind of shun them. They don't even give them an opportunity. My thought, and it's just my own personal opinion, I think the most important people to an artist, to a recording artist, to a singer, are listeners. If you like what you hear, you're going to buy that artist. It's irrelevant of the genre of music, country music, hip-hop, rock, pop, alternative, whatever your musical preference is, if you like something you hear, chances are you're going to go buy that album in the store. But there are a lot of folks out there that are just as good a recording artist as any of the mainstream artists that are already out there on the major labels. But unfortunately, they'll never be heard by the masses. And if you don't have a major label behind you, you're not going to be played on mainstream radio. They're not going to play the indie artists. Maybe if you're an artist in a small town and you have a local radio station that's independently owned, it's not under Clear Channel rules, then there's a good possibility there that you can get some airplay locally. But again, it's not going to get you any royalties from ASCAP or BMI, nothing to brag about. That's the sad part of it. I've heard many a band in many a nightclub, many a venue, many a supper club that were great. And again, the record labels wouldn't give them the time of day. I mean, I'm not really trying to bash the record labels. I'm just trying to get them to open their eyes, that there's a whole pool of talent out there. There's so much talent out there. It's just amazing. And it's just frustrating for a lot of the good talent out there. There's excellent writers that'll never get a publishing contract. If you submit material, if you send a demo to the major labels, nine times out of ten, it's happened to me several times, usually your demo comes back to you in the same envelope that you submitted it in with a stamped on the cover of the envelope, does not accept unsolicited material. And that's only if you're lucky. And if you don't get it back, chances are they didn't open it up, didn't listen to your demo, and you could have the next Grammy Award-winning song. Who knows? But they won't give it that opportunity, and it probably wind up in the trash can if it didn't get sent back to you. And I had a publisher once that submitted my material to Nashville and other artists and record labels trying to get my material picked up by mainstream artists, but even my publisher does not accept unsolicited material, and my publisher was a BMI publisher, Cherry Holly Music, and that blew my mind too. So it's just very tough to get in there, but again, don't give up, don't quit, don't stop. I don't care if you want to be a producer or a pilot, whatever you want to do with your life, don't let it stop you. Be like a steamroller, just keep going, don't stop. Just go around every obstacle that gets in your way. I mean, that's what I do. They can't stop me from writing screenplays. The industry cannot stop me from producing a screenplay. They can't stop me from writing songs. They can't stop me from recording albums. The only thing I'm probably not going to hit is the major labels or get picked up by any of the major theatrical or literary agents in Hollywood. But that's okay with me. I don't even care anymore. The more that technology changes, and it changes all the time, the easier or the lower cost it's going to become for you to produce a full-length motion picture at millions of dollars less than what a studio film is produced for in Hollywood. I've got one script that's a martial arts comedy. It's entitled Kung Fu Shoes. I wrote that script back in 1996, and I've gotten it to Paramount. I've gotten it to Lion's Share Pictures, and basically with the same rejection letter. However, both of them advised me that if I ever did get the film produced, that they would consider it for distribution. Now, distribution is a very important factor in the theatrical release of a motion picture, because if you can't get it in front of the viewing public, then it's going to be very difficult to recoup the investment. But Kung Fu Shoes, when I did the complete budget breakdown and projection of anticipated gross income from all worldwide markets, I disagree with doing budgets and projections. I personally don't believe in projections. Reason being, I feel until you put a movie in front of the movie-going public, the people that actually buy the tickets, there's no way in this world that you can project what that film is going to do. It's going to succeed or it's going to fail. But I don't believe that projections or budget breakdowns, I don't believe that is in any way, shape, form, or fashion leads to the success of a film. If one person, a lot of word-of-mouth advertising is kind of your best. I mean, you get one person who goes to the film, they like it, they tell their friend, they go to the film, they like it, tell their friend. And that's how you start increasing the box office revenues. And I just don't believe it's Hollywood's formula. For example, a $5 million film, that's what Kung Fu Shoes budgets out to per Hollywood standards. But I am very confident and know for a fact I could shoot Kung Fu Shoes for less than $30,000, possibly $20,000 in today's, with the utilization of today's technology, and go straight to Amazon.com or a lot of the other online distribution sites. Could possibly still probably get it picked up by Netflix or something like that. You're not going to make millions of dollars like getting it into the theaters. But it's still a means to get a film out there if you produce a film. It's getting easier all the time to get your projects out there, your music projects. I would suggest for bands, find a good recording studio, pay for your own recording, and then just duplicate 1,000 copies, sell 1,000 copies at a time. You sell those first 1,000 copies, duplicate 2,000 copies on your next run. You sell those, duplicate 3,000. It's going to take you a lot longer to sell 1,000,000 copies. But the upside to that is, versus the major labels, you're not going to have any returns. Sometimes a major label has a major artist that they do an album on, and they think the album is going to skyrocket sales because of the artist's name, and sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes they get, because they allow the wholesalers who retail music to return music. Of course, that's all charged back to the artist, but sometimes what the label ends up getting is a truckload of returns, several truckloads of returns once in a while. So, and that's not good either. But again, if you can sell 1,000 CDs that you produced yourself, again, it's going to take you forever and a day to sell 1,000,000 copies, but you're going to have zero return, and you're going to have all sales, and that's a good thing. And I don't think artists need to go to a major record label, but that's totally up to an individual. A lot of people would be jazzed to have a major recording deal. But the problem with that Every advance you get, all the tour support, recording expenses, all that's charged back to the artist. So you're not getting a free ride there from the label, and they're going to make more money than you off of you. I kind of disagree with that as well. For example, let's say you wrote all the songs on an album, or even half the album, and you own the copyright to those songs. Well, if you're on a major label, the label's going to own that album. And if you want to sell your own album at your shows, you're going to have to purchase your album from the major label at wholesale price, which could be $6 to $8 per CD. And they'll front you the money, again, recouping it back from you in order to sell your CD at your shows. So you have to tour 125 to possibly 140, 150 cities a year to make a living, while the record industry, record labels, are making far more money off of you than you're making off of them. And if you like being around family, you're not going to be around your family that much unless, of course, they're able to tour with you. And that's kind of the problem with a lot of the major label. You have to do 150 shows. Maybe you're booked, to perform in Atlanta tonight, and you got to be in Dallas, Texas tomorrow. 2 days later, you got to be in Phoenix, Arizona. Next night, Las Vegas. And that's the life of a, major label artist. They don't get a whole lot of home time. And yeah, 140, 150, shows a year, you probably wind up forgetting what your own house looks like, because you're just gone all the time. And it's really nothing that I personally would want to do. I wouldn't want to be gone 140, 150 shows a year, 45 weeks a year. That's just me. I like to be home once in a while. But everybody has their own take on things. Everybody's different, which is good. I mean, if you're 20 years old, you can do that 120, 140 shows a year with no problem. But again, when it comes to family or wanting to be home, you can hang that up by being a major label artist. Again, if we got any listeners out there, I would love to call in. Please do so at 1-888-815-9756. Okay, let's shift gears here a little bit. Let's go back to, well, let's get into some of the unfortunates of the industry, even worse than the major labels, but those people that like to rip you off, kind of like to help educate everyone that wants to be in this business on how to spot a scam and how to avoid that scam. First off, if one of the biggest ones is, let's say you're walking in a mall, you've got a 5-year-old little girl, maybe a guy approaches you. Oh, wow, she's gorgeous. How old is she? And you tell him 5 years old. Wow, you know, I have a beauty pageant coming up. Does she have a portfolio? 9 times out of 10, Andrew, no. Well, I can get you a portfolio. That's only going to cost you $1,000. Well, if the guy's pulling on your heartstrings, I'd say 99.99% of parents are going to do whatever it takes for their children, up to and possibly including mortgaging their home. And once this guy's done this 40, 50 times, he skedaddles. There was no pageant. There was nothing. I mean, anytime someone approaches you like that, check with your Better Business Bureau. Check with your licensing agencies within your town. Check these people out. Don't just give anybody your money. If someone wants you or your child, or you know, they want to say they can help you, then let them foot the bill. Tell them you'll give them 10 or 20% and no more, and only pay them once they have secured you a paid booking, because really that's the legitimate way that this industry works. you don't pay anybody up front. Someone says they want to produce you as a singer, don't pay for the production costs. They approached you. Tell them, in that case, tell them to pay for the recording cost and duplication cost. And if you get a deal, you'll be willing to pay them 7.5 to 10% of that record contract. But then again, that's a big if. It's the biggest prepositional phrase in the English language. If I had made it to where I'd like to have been, I wouldn't be doing this show right now. I would not have written my book. And that's just the truth about the truth of the matter. But just be careful out there. There's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing that utilize the entertainment industry as a front to unfortunately try to extract your money, as much money from you as possible, and they have no means of delivering to you what they say that they can. So, you know, on that note, just always be careful. Ask to see their business license. If you're in the state of California, someone says that they are a talent agent. Well, ask them if they're franchised with the Screen Actors Guild. And in the state of California, they also have to be bonded, as mandated by the California State Attorney General's Office. So if they don't have a license and not franchised by Screen Actors Guild, they don't carry a $10,000 or more bond as mandated by the Attorney General's Office, walk away, because they're not legitimate. And each state has its own rules and licensing regulations, but you know, just check everything out. Just protect yourself. Don't hand over money to anybody, especially someone you don't know. I'd like to get some more callers in here. 1-888-815-9756. Okay, still no callers, but that's okay. Again, if anybody has any questions, comments, if you're in the business, if you are a legitimate producer, if you are a legitimate record producer, if you're a screenwriting, if you're a successful screenwriter, if you're a struggling screenwriter, if you're struggling or successful or just want to be in this business, I want you to call in. Love to talk to you. 1-888-815-9756. But again, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of scams out there. But again, there's a lot of positives in there too. One of the positives I can think of, I had a show in Las Vegas at one time, a TV show. It was karaoke format. It was called Las Vegas Singers Roundup on KYRK TV channel 45. I would go to a lot of the karaoke clubs and whatnot in Las Vegas and pick out the singers I wanted to come on the show. And to this day, I am very good friends with one of the guys that was a contestant on my show. I kind of like to call him Mr. Las Vegas. I'm not talking about Wayne Newton, but his name is James Turner. He, like myself, has been in front of the camera, behind the camera, has worked in several phases of the industry. He's worked with Cher. He's worked with Madonna. He's worked on the Radio Music Awards. He's worked with Britney Spears. He, like myself, you can find him on www.imdb, which stands for Internet Movie Database.com. Go in there and put the person's name in, and it'll pop up. In fact, I'm on there as well. James is on there. In fact, that's another way you can try to check folks out. If they say they produce a certain specific thing, their name's so-and-so, just log on to www.imdb.com, put their name in there in the search, and see if they come up. But you always got to protect yourself. You got to be your own private investigator. It's unfortunate you can't take people's word for it. In fact, those days are long gone, unfortunately. A friend of mine and mentor, Cliffy Stone, he was the manager of Tennessee Ernie Ford for 25 years just on a handshake. Nowadays, even if you sign a contract, sometimes that contract don't mean nothing sometimes in this day and time as much as a handshake did back 25, 35, 40 years ago. But you always should honor your word. Everybody should honor their word. That's the utmost important thing. Truth and honesty and integrity. Those are the three things that I live my life by. And I won't rip anyone off, but at the same token, I won't allow anyone to rip anyone off. If I know it's starting, if they're trying to do it, I will do my best to ensure that they're not successful at taking money wrongfully from someone. And again, that's part of what this show's about, a lot of what my book is about. And again, any callers, 1-888-815-9756. Tell you some more about myself. I'm a former voting member of the Country Music Association, the Academy of Country Music, and the Grammys. I'm a BMI songwriter. But has that gotten me anywhere? No, not really. I'd say the most fun I had, two situations when I was with the Academy of Country Music. I got to work with Montgomery Gentry on their charity golf tournament in Burbank, California, probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And got to go to Academy of Country Music Christmas party. Trace Atkins was there. Brad Paisley, Lila McCain, Trick Pony, Blake Shelton, Darryl Worley, a lot of the top major artists. So it was kind of cool to be able to sit down and eat with a lot of those folks. But again, it didn't put me in the major labels, didn't put me in major known artists in Nashville, but still a lot of fun. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Are these organizations bad? No. It's just when I was very happy when I was able to be accepted into the Country Music Association and the Grammys, but again, it really didn't do much for me. And that's kind of just the way it is. BMI, ASCAP, CSAC, all those are songwriters' rights organizations. They're in charge of ensuring that you get properly paid for the uses of your music on radio, television, major motion picture placement, which that is the music supervisor's job at a production company to find music for the films that are coming out. That could be a very, very, very lucrative, reoccurring residual income if you're ever lucky to get a song placed in a major motion picture. Again, that's what BMI, ASCAP, and all that's for, is to collect your royalties and ensure that you're properly paid for the uses of your music. And there's just so many ways to make money with music and film, but again, just a brick wall. Honestly, try to go around it, try to go over it, try to go through it. Any more callers out there? 1-888-815-9756. We've only got approximately maybe, 16, less than 15 minutes left. Would encourage you to call in 1-888-815-9756. If you want to be in show business, don't know how to get started, that's what I'm here for, help you out. No matter where you live in the United States, give me a call, go to my page on bbsradio.com, send me an email through there, and I will find you legitimate agents that are legitimate that can get you started no matter where you live in this country. especially if you're within the confines of an entertainment city hub, an entertainment hub, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, Detroit, Miami, Atlanta. I can help you find those legitimate agencies, and you're not going to make $1 million first time out. You're probably only get paid anywhere from $50 to $100 a day, but to me, that's better than an acting class, because that's what I call earn while you learn. Network, make your contacts. Another person working on a film with you, hey, befriend them. They may have connections that you don't know that they have, and, you know, that's a lot of what this business is about anyway in the first place, is networking, making connections, becoming a connection. Network, network, network. Make friends constantly. Make friends, make friends, make friends. But make sure you make the right friends. That's the key, is making the right friends. You just never know. A fellow who is an extra today on the same film you're on, next year may be producing a major film because he or she just kept hitting the grind and got themselves up there, but maybe they'll remember you. You know, get a business card. That leads me to something else. Let's say you want to be an actor. Someone approaches you and says, do you have a portfolio? Well, actors do not use portfolios. The only type of people that use portfolios are models. Print models, runway models, fashion models. They use portfolios. They use Zed cards. The business card of an actor is what is called a black and white headshot. And that and a resume is the tools of a trade to an actor. And if you've never been credited as acting in the film, then naturally, first time out, first day out, even as extra, or even if you get lines in a independent film, you're not going to have a resume. So just starting out, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're just starting out or you want to start out, don't worry about a resume. You're not going to have one. But you do need that black and white headshot. But do not spend $1,000, you know, $500, $1,500. Don't spend that kind of money on a portfolio if you're only interested in being an actor. Because that's not what an actor uses. You'd be wasting your money. And chances are the photographer isn't that good to start with. Again, that's a whole other thing to get into. We'll talk more about that in a later show. But again, just seek out some good photographers. Start networking with the people that are working in the industry. If they're working a lot off their headshot submissions, then they have a good photographer, or they've got a good agent. One of the two. Or they're an excellent promoter of themselves, one of the three. But network, 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 make friends. I wouldn't say do this all the time, but there's a lot of films that you can work on that they're not going to pay you. They're low budget to no budget, independent films. But it doesn't hurt you to at least to do one. You know, do one or two. They'll do what they call copy, mill, and credit. They'll give you a copy of the film, or they should, because of what they're supposed to do. They'll feed you, and plus your name will be credited within the film for lending your talent. Maybe you've got a lead role. Maybe you've got a supporting role. Maybe you've only got one line. Maybe you're just an extra. But, you know, that's a good way to start. I mean, acting schools, they're going to cost you $195, $200 a month, maybe more. But the acting school isn't going to pay you. This is just my own personal thing. I really think that if you work on any production, independent, low budget, no budget, even if you just work as an extra on a major motion picture film, there's where you're going to get a good education. There's where you're going to see the inner workings of a movie. You're going to see everybody from the cinematographer to the director, to the assistant director, to the gaffer, to the production assistant, to the makeup artist, to the wardrobe department. You're going to be exposed to all these elements that pertains to getting a film to what I like to call from the script to the screen, if it gets to the screen. But again, network. Start working on any work you can pick up in the beginning that's really good. Extra work, independent films, student films. I mean, even go to film schools and offer your lend your talent to the film school directors and film school producers to be in their film. You're not going to be paid, but get a copy of the film. Start networking. You do not know where that student director or student scriptwriter director, you do not know where they're going to end up at. They may become the next Steven Spielberg. They may become the next Brian De Palma. They may become the next heavy Hollywood hitter director. You know, they may become. You just do not know. And again, that's why it's so important to network, not just in this industry, but in any industry. Most successful people network. They network with others within the confines of their type of industries. Getting back again to talking to the student director or about the student director from film school, may become the next Cecil B. DeMille. You just do not know. But you work with them on that one student film, maybe they don't call you for 10 years, but maybe 10 years down the road, they've paid their dues and they have become, they've given Steven Spielberg a run for his money, because Spielberg's going to fade away, so is Brian De Palma, because unfortunately, that's what happens to all of us. We're all going to fade away at some point in time, but there's also going to be other folks to come up and take their place. Because this industry, as long as man inhabits the earth, is not going to disappear. Music business is going to be here. The movie industry is going to be here. Writers, songwriters, scriptwriters, authors of books, they're going to be here. They're not going anywhere. But again, I encourage you, if this is the industry that you want to try to get into, start networking, start meeting people, you know, shoot me an email. Again, go to my page on bbsradio.com, No Biz Like Show Biz. Shoot me an email, and hopefully next Sunday we'll have some more callers in. Appreciate that caller today, Cy. Appreciate her. Again, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but if you'd like to call in, please do so. 1-888-815-9756. Again, go to my page, bbsradio.com. Shoot me an email if you have any questions. If you really don't want to call in today, but you still have some questions for next week, shoot me some ideas to talk about. Again, this is your show as well as it is mine. This is one show that is definitely for the people, by the people, or by the person, me. It's your show. Give me some ideas. Tell me what you want me to talk about. Because I've been in this business 25 plus years. I'm also an award-winning producer. I produced a non-air TV pilot back in 1998. That was called Street Singers Singing in the Streets. We won the Silver Award at the Philadelphia International Film Festival. And the Silver Award is second place. There were approximately 30,000 entries worldwide. And we took second place. I co-produced with the show's creator and director, Dave Durston, who is a 7-time Emmy Award winner, who hosted the show your hit parade back in the 1950s. That's probably before a lot of y'all's time. Definitely was before my time. And also co-produced with Jack Damon, who used to be the character of Dr. Brown on the TV soap opera General Hospital. Again, 1-888-815-9756. I only got a couple, 3 minutes left. Shoot me an email. Again, this show is for you as well. Email me some topics that you want me to discuss. We're here every Sunday. Be here every Sunday, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I've enjoyed this. Glad to be here. And hope you guys will listen in and start listening in every Sunday to No Biz Like Showbiz. Again, I'm your host, Randall Rutledge. Please shoot me an email if you've got some topics you want me to talk about for next week. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it. And maybe we'll have more callers next time. Until then, keep on dreaming.